Far less depressing and at least as fascinating as the other events I've shared here, I'd like to talk about Shakespeare. Sort of. Specifically, the mathematical discoveries and revelations of Alan Green concerning ciphers within texts of Shakespeare that point to mathematical knowledge before its time and a stunning real-world physical mystery at Shakespeare's church in Stratford-upon-Avon. I am basically going to cover a few of Alan Green's theories here that do incorporate several other evidence-based theories concerning Shakespeare's true identity, and I urge you to watch Green's compelling and very well-visualized videos, all the links of which are provided in the resources section below. The curious coincidental number 624, encrypted syntactically and grammatically throughout the sonnets of Shakespeare, happens to be June 24th, which happens to be the Elizabethan date of the summer solstice, and the opening date of the first Grand Lodge of the Freemasons, who love codes and numerology, as well as the feast day of St. John the Baptist, patron saint of the Freemasons, happens to be the number of lines in the text of the sonnet's dedication page, 6 lines, then 2 lines, then 4 lines. Happens to be the total letter and punctuation count of the text of the sonnet's dedication, monument, and gravestone in Shakespeare's church, happens to be the total number of grid squares in the Enochian tables developed by Elizabethan mathematician John Dee, happens to be the letter count for the name of the most likely candidate of Shakespeare, Edward 6, De 2, Vere 4, Edward de Vere, and June 24th, 624, is the day that Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford, supposedly died without public or private remark of his passing. The dedication of the 154 sonnets of Shakespeare, published in 1609, reads, quote, "To the only begetter of these ensuing sonnets, Mr. W.H., all happiness and that eternity promised by our ever-living poet, wisheth the well-wishing adventurer in setting forth. T.T. End quote. Now, keeping in mind that this dedication is formatted in 6 lines, 2 lines, then 4 lines, 6-2-4, how does the dedication read if we read from the dedication the 6th word, 2nd word, 4th word, and so on? Looking at the 6th, 2nd, and 4th words, the message becomes, quote, "These sonnets all by ever the 4th T, ever, e ver, Edward de Vere," who reportedly used the word ever as a pun to refer to himself. The 4th T is a symbol for the Christian God, who is asked in the Bible who he is by Moses, and responds, "I am that I am." Edward de Vere is the only known Elizabethan author to have written that phrase, as the phrase was considered sacred. Edward de Vere is the most likely candidate to have been Shakespeare. As for Alan Green's work on the mathematical side of the literature, the cover of Shakespeare's sonnets has just over 20 words and letters, 6 dots, and 2 straight lines. Using 4 of the dots and the edges of the 2 lines, a circle can be extrapolated. Then, simply by connecting the same 4 dots to vertices and points at which the circle intersects with the 2 lines in the center of the page, 6 90-degree right triangles reveal 12 mathematical constants, several of which were supposed to have been unknown in 1609, when this collection of poems was published. To explain why the information printed on the sonnet's cover page is very likely not some bizarre coincidence, Green introduces some probability ratios. On a page the size of the first page of the sonnet's quarto, the likelihood of a right triangle appearing, given 12 random points on that page, is approximately 60 to 1. The likelihood of 4 right triangles appearing randomly is 60 to the 4th to 1, or 12,960,000 to 1. Compound that unlikelihood with the right triangles nearly sharing hypotenuses, one of the triangles being a 3-4-5 Pythagorean triangle, The 6 points that make all this possible landing on the circumference of an extrapolated circle, that the line lengths of the right triangles reveal 12 important mathematical constants, and that in order for all the triangles to reveal these constants, one point on the page must be larger than the others to account for minute, detailed differences in line length, and the dot following the G is uniform but printed larger than all the other dots on the page? The collection of right triangles and mathematical constants on the cover of Shakespeare's sonnets bleed intentionality. When I notice a framed house, I don't assume that 6 construction workers randomly carried hundreds of randomly shaped and sized pieces of wood or metal to a random site and randomly affixed each piece to an exactly correlating piece, thousands of times over, until, one day, a house is suddenly and improbably assembled. Instead, I reason that a plan was put together and carried out to construct a house, as I am similarly convinced in the intentionality behind the cover page's very detailed geometric presentation of 12 relevant mathematical numbers, accurate to at least 3 decimal places. The constants supposedly unknown to Europeans in 1609, when this quarto was published, but intentionally and accurately presented on the first page of the sonnets are E and E minus 1 from 1683, the Euler-Mascheroni constant from 1734, and Brun's constant from 1919. The final, startling conclusion to this puzzle is that if you measure the acute angles of 2 final right triangles tangential to the circle, 29.9796 degrees and 31.1299 degrees, and transliterate them into coordinates of latitude and longitude, keeping in mind that the only 2 letters of the printed phrase "never before imprinted" printed on the cover page, outside of the extrapolated circle, are N and E, perhaps implying north and east, such as latitude north 29.9796 degrees and longitude east 31.1299 degrees. Those coordinates, on a map, direct one to the Great Pyramid of Giza, where, by using the conventionally agreed measurements of the Great Pyramid, Allen asserts that all the mathematical figures found on the cover of Shakespeare's quarto can be found again in ratios of the height, base lengths, and slopes of the pyramid. All the math Allen employs is available on his webpage, tobeornottobe.org. I like numerology. I like documented secret societies, proven hidden knowledge, and strange but true facts. I like facts. I like proof, and I am aware of how easily statistics and mathematical figures can be true and manipulated at the same time. So let's look at another task that Allen Green undertook, much less theoretical and more concretely impressive. It turns out that, using a cipher on the combined letters and punctuation of the sonnet's dedication, gravestone, and monument within Shakespeare's church, measuring out to 624 characters, laid on top of a grid of the Enochian tables developed by John Dee, a grid of exactly 624 squares, Green assembled a couplet, "Io stigmata desiderata," that led him to believe that there was some sort of secret hidden within the altar stone of Shakespeare's memorial at Stratford. So, what route of action did Allen take? Did he, A, ask the church if he could peek inside, B, cultivate a relationship with the church so that he would eventually be allowed to perform his original musical based on Shakespeare's works in candlelight in front of a large promotional poster covering up the 9-foot altar stone, so that filmed assistants could secretly come in the back of the church with radars, and during the 3.5 minutes it took Allen to perform his final song, radar map the altar stone behind the cover of the poster and in darkness, so that they could send the radar data to the imaging labs of Ohio State University and Villanova University, so that Allen would have proof that there is a 6.5 by 1 to 2 foot, 7-inch deep cavity holding materials of varying densities inside the altar stone? Or C, wait around since someone would get to it eventually. It was B. Alan did have his musical in Shakespeare's church. He did radar map the altar stone, and he did find a cavity 250 times larger than the saint's cavity that normally exists in consecrated altar stones, analyzed by two independent radar labs that indicate varying densities within the giant hole inside Shakespeare's altar stone. Green's current work is now to get the altar stone opened and discover exactly what is concealed. If Shakespeare or his bookbinder knew these mathematical constants, where did they learn them? Why are they sharing them on the cover of this quarto? Why do they feel the urge to point an extremely discerning reader toward significant mathematical numbers also present in the construction of the Great Pyramid? What is inside Shakespeare's altar stone at Stratford?